Now, when I was growing up, I would often hear a whole bunch of short, pithy statements relating to roads. For instance, that road leads to nowhere. Or that guy thinks he's the king of the road. Or that outfit is kind of middle of the road. Or let's have one more before we hit the road. And then finally, let's get this show on the road. Now, in case you're wondering, what on earth is he going on about today? I would like to speak to you about roads, physically as well as metaphorically speaking. Because there are some roads that we travel on in life which have been smooth and pleasant, but then there are other roads which have been nothing but unpleasant and sometimes very difficult. At times, we may have started out on a journey full of excitement, only to find disappointment waiting for us at the end of the road. And then there are other times when we have begun a journey that may have had a number of question marks and was full of uncertainty. But as we traveled down that road, we found that actually it's one of the most greatest journeys that we have ever been on. Can you relate? Now today, I would like to speak to you about a couple of friends who traveled such a road. Their journey, it began with a lot of doubt. But as they traveled down that road, doubt and uncertainty was transformed into belief and certainty. And this account can be found in the Gospel of Luke 24. And verses 13 to 32. And it says this.
On the road to Emmaus. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes. And besides this, it is now the third day since these things happened.
Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back, saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?'"
Now this passage, it begins with that very day. What day? Resurrection Day, or as we know it as Easter Sunday, which we just celebrated a couple of weeks ago. And so on that very first Easter morning, when the women reported an empty tomb and sightings of angelic beings, that very day, Cleopas and his friend hit the road and journeyed towards Emmaus, which is possibly where they lived. And I'm sure that as they walked, remembered and reflected on past events, they would have experienced a roller coaster of emotion, ranging from joy and delight to sorrow and lament, from awe and wonder to disappointment and now even anticlimax. As they reminisced, I'm sure that they would have recalled the plethora of great works and miracles carried out by our Lord, namely, how he fed a multitude of 5,000 from 5 loaves and 2 fish, how he cast out devils, healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, and caused the mute to speak, how he taught with such an authority which confounded the wisdom of the wise, and so much more. But then, as they discussed these high times, all of a sudden they began to feel really low, because what they had expected didn't happen or occur in the way that they had hoped. And verse 17 tells us that they were sad, heartbroken, and with perhaps a sense of grief and loss from the turn of events. Now, I'm sure that we can all relate to this on some level, especially in light of this current pandemic that we are facing, where families are grieving the loss of loved ones or are absolutely filled with a fear of contracting this dreaded virus. Some may be panicking over their livelihoods and even their future, while others may be lamenting the fact that their plans have been scuppered in some way or another. Weddings or celebrations and holidays to sun-kissed destinations all hang in the balance. And so, on some level, I'm sure that we can all relate to this emotion of loss and disappointment, can we not? However, as the disciples are walking and talking, out of nowhere, a stranger appears. It is really the Christ, but they are kept from recognizing him. He draws alongside them and he begins to engage them in conversation by asking them what they were talking about. And the response from Cleopas, if I may paraphrase, is, "Dude, where have you been? Haven't you heard the latest news?" But the Lord, he still continues to engage them. And then they begin to tell Jesus about Jesus, that he was a prophet, mighty in word and deed, but he was condemned and crucified. They had hoped that he would be Israel's redeemer, but now they are not so sure. And so they were calling it a day and they were hitting the road. Wow. Given up so easily. Now, I don't know about you, but I can so often relate to them. That when things haven't gone my way, disappointment is never too far behind. And we are quick to jack it all in and hit the road, aren't we? Or is it just me? However, at the point of despair and uncertainty, the stranger who has been journeying with them lovingly reprimands them and then reminds them of the scriptures, revealing the bigger picture. And as he does, he stimulates hope. And so, beginning with Moses, Jesus expounds and explains how the Christ had to suffer before entering into his glory, how the scriptures all attest to and point to this fact. And so right there and then they have this epic Bible study on who this Jesus really is. And as they piece together the numerous prophecies and predictions, all of a sudden everything is put into clear perspective. And just to summarize, creation and our relationship to God was marred by sin. But one day, one born of a woman will crush the head of the serpent and reconcile us to our holy God. Because he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, but by his stripes we are healed. It's the ultimate story of rags to riches. It's where we receive his crown and he our thorns as Jesus dies in our place as our substitute. And so, all of the prophecies in the Hebrew Bible foretold over centuries all culminate, meet and crescendo in the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, what exactly are the odds of one man fulfilling, let's say, 8 prophecies or predictions? Well, according to Dr. Peter Stoner, a professor in mathematics and science, he claims that the odds are 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That's one chance in the number 1 with 17 zeros after it. In other words, it is practically impossible. Wouldn't you agree? It's like this. Imagine covering the state of Texas with silver coins 2 feet deep, and then just randomly asking somebody to pick out a marked coin from amongst those trillions and to do so on their first attempt and whilst blindfolded. Impossible, right? And that's just the odds to fulfill 8 prophecies or predictions. But we know that Jesus fulfilled over 350 of them, which reduces the possibility even further. Now, what does that all mean? It means that if Christ fulfilled things foretold, then he has absolute power, reign and control over everything, including our very life. Therefore, we can rest in him and trust his heart. Because whatever we are facing right now, be it death, disease, or even disappointment, it will never have the final word, because Jesus does. Why? Because he overcame the grave, and that changes everything. Now, coming back to the passage, from verse 28 onwards, it says, as they drew near to the village to which they were going, he acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. Hallelujah. I love this part, because it seems that the Christ was going on, but it was only upon their insistence that the Lord remained with them. How often are we persistent and insistent for the Lord to remain and abide with us? In other words, how hungry are we for more of him so that he doesn't go on and pass us by? I tell you, if we stoke that fire and prepare him room, he will come in and eat with us, and we with him. Revelation 3:20. Now, in a Middle Eastern context, a shared meal between two parties, it meant acceptance and friendship. Isn't that amazing? Now, one of the ways that the Lord revealed himself to the disciples on the Emmaus Road was through the scriptures. And as he did, the disciples witness the unveiling of Christ's glory. And I love their response. They said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as the scriptures were opened?" Allow me to ask, when was the last time your heart burned red hot when you read about the Christ? I love what Einstein once said. He said, "I am a Jew, but I am enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene. No one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word." Wow, so true. And so, during this time of lockdown, let us revisit God's holy word afresh. And let us cultivate a love for the word of Christ and for the Christ of the word. And let us cry out for greater revelation and illumination, just like Moses, who said, "God, I don't want to go on unless you show me your glory." Exodus 33. And so my prayer for this season is that may we rediscover the Christ and return to our first love. That he may burn up the dross and set our hearts ablaze once again for his glory. And just like the disciples, may he turn our sorrow into dancing and joy. Amen. Now, if you do not know the Christ, can I just say to you that Jesus is a gentleman. He will never force entry or force himself into your home or your heart. But he stands at the door and he knocks. And if you open it, then he will come in. And I guarantee you that road will not lead to disappointment. I can personally testify to that. And so, if you have any questions, then please head over to the chat section, and our online pastors are ready and waiting to help you in any way that they can. Just hit the live prayer button and they can take that discussion and that conversation offline and even pray with you or for you. And so, whatever road you are traveling on right now, whether it's a road of anxiety or fear and even uncertainty, just take it to the Lord in prayer. And as you spend time with him, listen for his voice through his word. Because when the rubber hits the road, as it were, his promise is that he is always with us, even to the end of the age, and even until the end of the road, if you like. And so, let us not falter or lose hope, but let us rediscover the Christ, stay the course, and hold the road. Amen. Praise God.